The king of the universe is our father. See, this is pretty amazing, guys. The guy with all the provision, the guy with all the protection. It's like like Captain Bill and all you SEALs and Rangers and all these stuff. I go, the baddest army on the planet is now available for you for asking, with all the angels, etc. Isn't that powerful? Is the most peaceful man, the man who possesses peace, Jesus says, I leave you my shalom. You're supposed to have mine. I've got this thing, right? Cast all your cares to me because I'm your caretaker. That's all great news to me. And so I'm just trying to show you what I think is the pure truth of what Jesus has literally done for us. And it's so good. You guys okay with that? So I want you to get this. He's our Father. He's our, because we can get confused. He goes, you're multiple things in the book of Revelation. When it's finished, when you finally get through this whole thing, it's about Jesus. And the very last chapter says, now I'm going to unveil the apocalypse of Jesus. Amen? And so I'm not going to talk about all the hailstones and everything yet, but someday maybe we'll add our Bible study. Some of you guys really want to dig into that. It's actually really awesome news. It's not scary for you guys. You're not going to walk out of here and a hailstone bigger than your car drops on it and your car gets crushed. That's not, it's just not. Those are types and symbols of what most of it's already happened. Amen? So, but let's talk about this. So, because I want you to understand how the whole Bible's put together. Because then, if you're reading something, and you go, man, that's not good news. What I'd recommend is just ask God, ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, show me what that means, because it can't be bad news for me. Because, and this is how, maybe it's too simplistic, but if he calls me a bride, if he calls me a son, and he calls me a king and a priest, I understand a couple of those relationships well, because I know what a sonship looks like, because I know what a dad looks like, and I know what a bride looks like, because I have one. So he's trying to tell you, now, just use your head a little bit in this thing. If he's love, he defines himself, he goes, I'm light and I'm love. Doesn't he? Dave, if you love Rose, I'm going to get this answer right, bro. You're not going to treat her like, well, Rose, if you had enough faith, then I'd give you this. That is a screwed up marriage to me. Does that make sense? And some of you guys are doing that. Stop. The veil's supposed to be gone. You're supposed to be in an intimate relationship. Follow me? Now, the same thing. If you understand, Rumiko understands this probably better than any of us. He's got six little knuckleheaded boys, huh? I can say that because I used to be one, man. And I look back and I go, my mother, holy smokes, man. I was just a mess. And so I was a fired up mess, though. And so I'm looking back, though. But, hey, there's certain things you allow your kids to go through because it builds character. Amen? But if you know there's something coming that's dangerous or they need something, what are you going to do? You're going to step in. Why? Because he's a good dad. Does that make sense? And somehow we make the father in this new covenant about faith and everything else difficult. Like, nope, unless you do this, then I know I'm your husband, but you got to make sure your faith level's high enough, and then I'll do it for you, honey. That's just nonsense. So I'm just asking you guys to use your head a little bit. And so as you're reading scripture, so here's how this whole thing's put together. The old covenant were types and shadows of a reality, a new covenant that Jesus was going to bring. Does that make sense? And so if you understand, I'm just trying to share it. So when you read this, you get it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he came to the Jew first. He's coming to the Jews, and he's going, hey, this was, because the Gentiles don't understand the Torah. They didn't have it. Follow me? So he goes, I'm going to unveil myself to the Jew first because they'll understand all these types and symbols, etc. But they chose the temple system over the true meaning. And he goes, faith is simply all of these types and shadows, all these amazing promises, all these good things. Now faith is the reality. All those were pointing to Jesus, and now Jesus says, here I am, and this is the truth about all this. So when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even the parables, you'll get messed up if you think it's, and maybe I'll do some teaching on the parables sometime, because they're really not that confusing if you understand one thing. Is he goes, somebody's going to be excluded and somebody's going to get in. Because he always says, the kingdom of God is like this. And then he talks about, hey, it's like a sowing seed, or it's like the 10 virgins, etc. Who, one of their oil didn't run out, one did. Well, whose oil ran out in 70? The old covenant system. All their oil ran out. This is what people get confused. So I know we get fearful sometimes going, oh God, do I have enough oil? Because I don't want to be the foolish virgin. Does that make sense? And so all of their oil ran out, but then he goes, in this new one, your oil never runs out. I'll fill every pot. You just keep bringing the pots. That's what was with Elisha too. Hey, bring all the pots, and as many as you bring, I'll fill. It'll never run out. So all these are pictures of the Old and New Covenant. You guys understand this? So that's what all the parables are about when you start understanding it. Hey, the servants in the field, right? He goes, listen, you who did all this work in the hot sun, you know who that is? What's work all about in the Bible? Old Covenant. I got to do all these things and work. He goes, now the guys at the very end, you gave them the same deal. They didn't do any work. Get this? It's actually quite good. It's just, it's the old father, it's the old brother, the young brother. Wait a minute, I've been working here, serving all the time. This guy was a knucklehead, went downtown and partied, and he came back and he's got a better deal than me. Amen, the new covenant's better. Does that make sense? That's what everything's about. So I'm just trying to show you, everything is good news when you understand Scripture. Does that make sense? It was bad news to the people who rejected Jesus. Follow me? But does he, he's slow to anger. He goes, man, I'm not all the time, but he is. And so he's a just understand it in those relationships, and it'll be good news to you. Does that make sense? All right, now let's go to the throne of heaven. Hallelujah. That's what this thing's all about. So note, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's fulfilling old covenants. All every little detail means something in there. And so I'm just trying to show you some of the details. And you guys like this kind of teaching or no? Okay, because sometimes, you know, Doug Bishop and I were talking about this, and we were just talking about how practical. See, I think the practicality comes when you know how good he is and what he's going to do for you anytime, any day, despite you. That is practical to me. Does that make sense? So, all right, let's go this. That alone is good news. Hey, the God who created this whole thing is now my dad, and I'm in full covenant. If I ask for anything, I have it, so that my joy may be full. Hallelujah. But now you got to pray and fast, like Les says. That's garbage. No. Does that make sense? It's not even talked about in the New Testament. After the cross, it's not even talked about. Paul talks about it. He goes, listen, I fasted simply because I had no food. If I had food, trust me, I'd eat. Follow me? Now, if you want to do it, have at it. I'm going to feast, okay? Okay, Matthew 27:50. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. All right. So it tells us this veil, this old covenant temple, the veil split. Why was the veil there? To keep you from dying if you approach God. Your sin separated you from the Father. Does that make sense? God's presence. He goes, so these veils are there because you don't want to come without blood, and only the high priest once a year could come with blood. And then he could come in the veil, but you guys know all that. You and I couldn't come. Now the Gentiles, could they even come in the courts? No. No, they were outside. They were in the outer darkness, the where there's gnashing of teeth. Why? Because they're outside of the covenant. Does that make sense? Okay, so what's this veil thing? The veil was torn. Why was the veil torn and now exposed the holiest of holies? Why is that? God was no longer there, and Jesus took care of every sin. I heard Joe say that. Yeah, you have access now. But even you don't even have access to that one. The real ones, the heavenly Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem. This old covenant system, there's nothing there anymore. God's presence isn't there, amen? And if you go look at all these, it's so fascinating. I'll probably teach some of this stuff. If you start reading some of the early church writings, Josephus's writings, the Talmud, and all these different things, they used to tie a scarlet rope at the temple on the Day of Atonement, and then it would turn white. From AD 30 to AD 70, that scarlet rope stayed red every year. Why? Because God wasn't there anymore. He established a new covenant. A better blood was Jesus himself. That's what I'm trying to show you. You guys get it? So, hey, what's this veil thing? Now let's go into Scripture tells us what this is all about, all right? Hebrews 10:1, for the law having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image, so it's not the real thing. That's what we got to understand. This old covenant, it was very real to them, but it's not the real thing for you and I. Follow me? So we can teach it, types and shadows, but it's not the real thing. Got it? Because if we're still under the law, then we're still in sin is what it says. And some of you guys, if you have like mixed fabric underwear, you're breaking the law. It's true. Because people are like, oh, the law, then why are you wearing these clothes? You should be linen only, wool only, don't mix them. Follow me? So ladies, that's bad news for you. So not the very image of the things. They never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those approach perfect, complete. Right? Drop down to verse 8. Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire. He's quoting Psalms right now. And the offerings for sin, that wasn't your plan, guys. This old covenant system was never God's plan. He wanted it to be grace, period. But the Jews at Mount Sinai said, you know what? We're awesome. We can do all the work. And then his tune changed. He goes, don't even come up. Because even even if an animal touches this mountain, this Mount Sinai, this old covenant system, without blood, he's going to die. All right? So that's not what I had pleasure in, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Who is this speaking? Jesus himself. He's the true lamb. He's the fulfillment of all these types and shadows. Those were just pictures of what he was really going to do. You guys follow me on that part? So if you read the Old Covenant and you start thinking, my God, this is bad news, the law was so strict and perfect that he knew no man could ever do it. And so he goes, hey, you think you can do it? Try these. Try it. And then here's 10. I know you'll break at least one, which is guilty of all 613 then. Follow me? Okay. So he said, but I'm always going to give you an escape route. You can bring a lamb. And this is what I'm trying to get you. Is the new covenant's actually better. So let me tell you how good the old covenant was. If you messed up, right? How many guys have ever messed up? Hallelujah, me too. This morning, exactly right, twice. That's what I always say. I'm just trying to show you that it just bothers me when I see ministry people get up there and proclaim how good they are. So I'm like, you're putting in a standard for these people that is no longer good news. Follow me? So I try to just go, man, here I am in all the ugliness, and he's good to me. So how much better is he going to be for you? Does that make sense? And I tell people, my wife's pretty good. I'm just a mess most of the time. And yet he still blesses me. That's good news. Amen? That's what I'm trying to get you to. And every one of you are in that boat when you really see it. Follow me? So if you messed up on the old covenant, here's how simple it was. Because they wanted to have God's favor, his blessing, his healing, everything all the time. But sin separated themselves from him, right? So if you sinned, what do? You bring a lamb to the priest. Follow me? And as long as that lamb didn't mess up twice this morning, and that's why it had to be a spotless, innocent lamb, here's what the Jews understood, because God told them this is how it's going to be. You can bring that lamb, and it's going to act like all of your mess up just went to that lamb. But his perfection, so the wealth, the healing, the provision, the joy of that perfect lamb, which is Jesus, comes to me. So here's how simple it was. I messed up. Okay, wait a minute. God's system is this. He doesn't want to punish me. He wants to bless me forever. I'm his wife, and I'm his son. Follow me? So I'm going to give you an escape route, because I'm going to show you can't do this law thing, but you can still bring a lamb. And then the Jew knew, if I brought the lamb and the priest accepted it, he walked away fired up, going, hallelujah, it's as if I've never messed up, so God's favor, his blessing, his healing, everything's still going to pour out on me, even though I don't deserve it. Follow me? That is a type and shadow of the real one. So if you mess up, guess what? Come boldly to the throne. Go, Lord, I don't have to bring a lamb anymore. The lamb was brought one time. Jesus was the real lamb. Even though I'm a mess up, favor me, bless me, prosper me, heal me, do everything for me because I get what Jesus deserved. That's the gospel. You guys understand this? Is that good news to you? Don't let people add things to it. And it's easy to do. That's why I'm trying not to add things to it. So if I add something to it, dismiss it. Go, Mike's in error. And I go, probably more than I know. But even though you're in error, his grace of God still does it. That's what's amazing. So I'm just trying to not be in error and try to give you the best good news I can. Follow me? All right, so old covenant, sacrifice, that whole system, that's not what I really desired. Even though, see, I'm trying to show you how good that was. They just had to be smart enough to bring the lamb to the priest. You guys have to just be smart enough to remind God about Jesus, the real lamb. Follow me? That's the gospel. That's that simple. I just saved you about 3 years of seminary. Behold, I've come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. Which one is he taking away? The old one, the old lamb system. He's going to give you a new lamb system, which is Jesus himself. Follow me? By that, we will have been sanctified. You have been made holy. You can't make yourself holy. You people who are trying to set yourself apart, you can't do it. You know what you're going to do? You're going to get angry and bent out of shape about the total sinner that comes in and just enjoys it. Because the law will only make you angry, ticked off, doubtful, starts to kill you. You start having bodily issues, health issues, because, man, I'm not good enough. What I'm trying to show you is you're perfect. So renew your mind every day to, I am perfect. And that's the hard part, isn't it? Because you wake up and you go, man, Right? Green Bay Packers fans, really, noises come out in the morning, you're just like, what? I know I'm not perfect. Does that make sense? Right, Roy? No, well, yeah, you are. That is amazingly good news that you can do that to a Packer fan. Hey, did you watch that Brett Favre induction?
No, I
didn't. Jeez, you're not a true fan. I actually watched it. I love that kind of stuff. Just, I love it, man. I just love it. So, by that, he'll be sanctified, set apart, made holy. You've been made holy. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. You've been made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, one time, forever. Hallelujah. Now, that's what you need to remind yourself every day. Follow me? If the type and shadow was good, which I think it's amazing. Hey, Lord, I can bring this lamb, and now I can walk away with expectancy that you still see me as perfect, and you're going to bless me, favor me, heal me, prosper me. Every promise that I can find in that Bible is now yes, always, because the lamb was sanctified once for all. That's what you renew your mind to. Follow me? Isn't that better news? So don't let this teaching of I have to have enough of this, enough of that, because the veil gets put right back up, in my opinion. Is let him do it all. Let his faith take care of it. Follow me? You just be smart enough to remind him of the lamb. Because the Jew didn't come and go, I gave him the lamb, and he set apart, oh man, I wonder if I have enough of the lamb. I wonder if I prayed and fasted enough. They just walked away excited knowing that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And that's what I'm trying to get you to do. Just bring in the lamb and all this other faith teaching. I'll probably cover some of that because they just get distorted. You know, trying to have enough of it, etc. And Jesus' message, did he ever say that? Never. He just said, you know what, if you have a mustard seed and I've given you a measure, that's all you need. And what's faith? Faith is simply all those Old Testament promises are now yes to me, despite me. Not because of you. And that's what most of the faith teaching has tried to get you back under the veil, in my opinion. It's despite you. Follow me? So, if you want to go into the old system, fine. Let's keep going. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and their minds. I'll write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more. Why? Because his was the real sacrifice. The Jews knew, hey, I could bring it, the lamb, and now I'm spotless again. Hallelujah. But his lamb was perfect forever. Now you're spotless forever. You guys get it? So why would he remember your sins if he's removed them forever? But he won't answer your prayer if you have unforgiveness. Baloney. Baloney. Because you're spotless. He doesn't qualify you based on that. He qualifies you based on the lamb. Are you getting this? It's really good news if you get it. It's awesome news. Hey, your sins and your mess ups, I'm not even going to remember them. So why are you remembering them? Right? If I don't like a lot of the counseling, okay, tell me what you did. Your husband and wife come in. Well, you need to know what he did. I don't need to know any of it because I like you guys right now. I want to know. Follow me? Because I don't want you to know how I treated her sometimes. I just don't. You know, I'm pretty good now, but when we first got married, it was a mess, man. And I'm embarrassed by it now. I'm like, God, that was terrible. So why would I put that to remembrance? Follow me? Let's go unravel it and open your heart. You know what you're doing? You're causing, open up Pandora's box again. Don't remind them of what they used to do. I'm trying to remind you, look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's go back in time and see where all this thing... What the? I get frustrated by all that teaching because it just kills them. Follow me? The message is, you're perfect. He's that good. All right? So, therefore, brethren, since this is true, since there's no longer any sin anymore, now what can you do? Therefore, brethren, having boldness, go straight into the Father's house, his sit there on his lap, to his throne of grace. It's no longer a throne of judgment. Amen? The blood's been shed once and for all. Now it's pure grace after that. Go boldly to his throne and ask for whatever you need. Isn't that good? By a new and living way. Why? We don't have to, listen, everything's wrapped up in this. I don't have to bring a lamb that has to die anymore. He died once for all. And if I go to the throne now, even though if I have sin in my life, I'm not going to die. Because he doesn't even remember what we did. He doesn't remember what you're going to do. Isn't that good news? So that's the hard part of renew your mind every day so you can be, don't conform to those worldly systems where I got to do this. Remind yourself every day, Jesus did it all, man. And I am one blessed something. I was going to say something, but it's an Iowa term. So I can't just put whatever words in there work for you. I am the blessed, most blessed dude on the planet because Jesus is. And now I'm joint heir with him. I'm the God of the universe is my dad, and I'm the bride of Jesus. Man, I am in good shape despite me. That's what I want you to get. Follow me? That's why the new covenant is so good. All right, you get this? So let's talk about this. Keep going. Talk about this throne thing. And I covered this a little bit. So this is Acts 15:13, and this is what religion tries to do to you. So Paul and Barnabas and everybody, they're fired up, man. The Gentiles are getting healed. They're getting saved. Miracles are happening. They're getting their lives restored. They're coming out of addictions. They're coming out of debt. All these things are happening. And so the Jerusalem council, though, the Jews up in the holy city go, that's not fair. Wait a minute. We labored in the hot sun all day, and you're giving them the same deal I got? That's the parable. Get those guys up here, and let's tell them what they need to do. I'm putting it in context. Go read it. That's my Mike Popovich version, but that's how simple what he's talking about. So they're going, hey, we don't think this is fair. We need to make them follow the law because they're getting the same Holy Spirit and the same blessing we're getting, yet we're laboring in the hot sun for this thing. Follow me? All right. So after they had become silent, and here's what happened. Because Peter gets up there and goes, hey, whoa, yo, I went to Cornelius's house, and all I told them, they didn't fast, they had mixed underwear garments, everything. They were eating pork rinds. They were. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. That'll set you free someday, some of you guys that are trying to set yourself apart. Just come on over, man, and have a pork rind with me. You'll love it. It'll feel blasphemous, but it'll just be, this is the party, this is the new covenant table, man. It's, yes, yes. Hallelujah. You guys get it? See, I think once in your life, you got to eat a chili cheese dog. At Yankee Stadium's even better. It's just killer. That's not fair. Man, I'm eating right and I got these health issues. Check yourself and see if you're condemned somewhere. Just check yourself. Follow me? Get that you're completely righteous and healed. You're perfect. You're perfect. Got it? After they'd become silent, because Peter goes, listen, hey, these guys did nothing. All I told them is their sins are forgiven, and the Holy Spirit fell on these guys, and it shocked me. And they started praying in tongues, declaring the wonderful works of Jesus. Follow me? So I'm putting it in context. So Peter tells us, hey, I don't know why you're trying to put them under the law, because that same Holy Spirit that we got, they got. And they didn't work in the midday sun. They got the same thing. That's why the first will be last, the last will be first. Whoa, this is upside down. And God, in that parable, goes, it's my job to give to whoever I want to give, and I want to give everybody by grace. Isn't that good? Yeah, they're actually quite easy. It's just pastors screw them all up. So, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take them out of a people for his name. Hey, this was God's idea. He's going to take out the Gentiles now. He's going to take people out of all nations, not just Israel, is what's happening here. And with these words of the prophets agree, just as is it written. Now he's quoting Amos, all right? After this, I will return. I will rebuild the tabernacle of David. Now I see all these people trying to do the tabernacle of David, and I think they miss it. They don't understand what the tabernacle of David's all about. It's singing and dancing and 24-hour worship, etc. Guys, I don't want to do that. I want to sleep. He says, because I give beloved in my sleep. I'd rather sleep and have him give to me than get up and worship again fully rested. No, we need to have 24 hours. No, that was a type and shadow of the real one. Follow me? We don't have 24-hour service here. Why? Because I want you to sleep and eat and enjoy your family and do these things. You guys get it? When are you going to do this? I'm not, ever. Because that was a type and shadow of the real one we have now. This is what he's saying, all right? So if you want to do it, have at it. You're just not going to see me here. I'm just not. Why? Because I'm with my family. I'm enjoying the new covenant. Does that make sense? So now do I like to party with all? Yes, I do. I love all of that stuff, but I'm not going to be here 24 hours and set up. No, because that was a type and shadow. The real temple of David you have access to right now. That's what I'm showing you. You guys get it? Because I see some of the people that are worshiping in 24 hours, and they're like, they look terrible. Lord, please come. We're desperate for you. He's like, I'm here. You're supposed to be rejoicing to me. Hallelujah. The thing's full. Please, Lord, we seek your presence. I'm here. That's what he's trying to tell them. Get up and worship. I know I'm stepping on toes, but The new covenant is in his presence is fullness of joy, and he's never going to leave you. So why mourn? You guys get it? All right. See how we mix those scriptures all around? All right. I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Hey, this isn't just a deal for the Jews anymore. Every nation can come to me fully. Follow me? So James and Peter, James is Jesus' brother, they're trying to explain what's happened. Hey, that prophecy that the tabernacle of David is going to be restored is what's happening right now. Jew and Gentile can come with no veil right to the throne. I'm giving you the hint right now. So, all right? So, the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who will do all these things. He's just explaining to them, what you're witnessing right now, they don't have to be put under the law, because you guys, you could never do it. Jesus said, I'm going to make a new way. There's not even going to be a veil to my presence. You can come in and just worship me. Jew and Gentile, the whole world, I'm going to call all nations. You guys get this? So, I showed you a picture of this, but I think it's worth seeing again. That on the on your right, right, is the old tent tabernacle, Moses' tabernacle, right? And here's what you got to understand, and this will make scripture sometimes easier. When he talks about heaven and earth, he talks about a physical heaven and a physical earth, and there are seas. Do we see that in our world, right? Go read this. To the Jews, to Josephus, everything, they said, hey, the temple system is how we see the world. There's the heaven, which is the holiest of holies, because that's where God dwells. There's the holy place, and the outer court, or the inner court, I mean, that's earth, that's land. That's where you can actually stand, and you're not going to sink under the judgment of the water. The seas was everybody outside the tabernacle that couldn't get in. They're under judgment. So it's not just the heaven and earth when he's talking about, hey, listen, at your presence, heaven and earth is going to flee. He's talking about my presence, Jews, when you finally reject me, this whole world system is going to be reestablished, and those are going to flee. You guys get it? That's why he tells the Jews, he said, listen, he goes, guys, you've got a limited time period to accept the Messiah right now. If you don't, this whole temple system, this whole mountain is going to be dispersed into the seas, and you're going to be in the outer darkness where there's gnashing of teeth, meaning that you guys who think you're in the covenant are going to be excluded from the covenant, and you're going to be outside the court. You guys get it? But guess what? David's tabernacle, what's missing? Anybody can come. There's no veil separated from you. That's why he said, listen, there's no sin in mankind anymore. I've taken away the sin of the world. Now every nation can come and just be in my presence. That's the tabernacle of David. You guys get it? Now if you want to go read about all this, is 1 Chronicles 16, the tabernacle of David. Go look at this. It's fascinating. Because that's the type and shadow. The real one was Jesus. He's saying, hey, I'm the fulfillment of this. And James and Peter and Acts are going, this is what's happening. Jew and Gentile can come freely now into his presence, just like they could with the tabernacle of David. So in 1 Chronicles 16, what it says that David brings in the ark, right? This is pretty fascinating if you understand this. So the type and shadow is, at Bernea, there was Moses' temple, right? But David brings the ark into Jerusalem. Now the priests in Bernea on this other mountain still did their daily sacrifices, everything over there, for 40 years. While the tabernacle of David was in Jerusalem where Jew and Gentile could come, and go look at it. They offered the burnt offering and peace offering one time at the tabernacle of David, and then he said, now priests, what your job is going to be 24/7, you're just going to glorify me and do praise and worship for all the wonderful works I've done. It was the first psalm that David wrote when he brought it over here. So all of his psalms now is why he's just worshiping. He's going, Lord, I'm a man after your own heart. You didn't want that old system. You wanted me to restore all of mankind because you're slow to anger. What you wanted to do is show him mercy and grace. That's the heart of David. You guys understand that? So why? What did that do? That forced David to just worship. He goes, hey, this tabernacle of David, here's the type of it. They're going to do burnt offerings one time. After that, all we're going to do is worship for everything that's been done. Now, what's the reality of that? Us! The tabernacle of David's been restored. The real thing is you and I right now. Follow me? You guys get it? That's the tabernacle of David, and I see all these things trying to restore it. I go, it's been restored! No, we're restoring it. No, you can't do it. He did it. No, we're doing it. No, you're not. You look miserable. Go watch them. It's sad to me. So here's what's happening. So for 40 years, guess what? The veil's torn in the New Testament, right? The veil's torn. For the next 40 years, just like in the type and shadow, the priests, they sewed up the veil and they offered sacrifices even though God's presence wasn't there while the real tabernacle of David was going on. You and I are just worshiping. The Gentiles are fired up, enjoying the covenant. Follow me? That covenant stood while the tabernacle of David stood for 40 years. In the real fulfillment, guess what? It stood for 40 years. AD 70, it was destroyed. But the real Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, goes on forever and ever. And it's the tabernacle of David. You guys get it? Now, what is that? Let's make this practical. So, sacrifices were made one time. I forgot I wrote all this. I was trying to explain it to you. So, the veil that separates us from the Father because of our sins has been completely removed. We saw that. Jesus comes, the temple splits, rock split. Grandpa comes out of the grave walking around, which is the first fruits, is what he tells us. Whoa, that's the resurrected life. We don't have to fear death anymore. What a crazy thing. You guys get it? And he said, some of the dead that were dead in Christ rose with him. Those are the first fruits. Now you and I are changed forever. The minute you pass on, guess what? When your spirit leaves your body, you get your glorified body immediately, and you're in his presence forever. You don't even have to fear death. Isn't that cool? All right. So the veil, what I'm trying to show you is that's why we do praise and worship, etc. Why? We're praising the wonderful works of Jesus, and now I'm trying to do my best not to try to get you to work again. Follow me? Are you getting this? Why? We're trying to celebrate what Jesus has done, just like the tabernacle of David. Hey, he was the sacrifice once and for all, just like in the old covenant type and shadow. 1 Chronicles 16, they did it once and for all. And then all the priests did after that was worship. Praise God. You guys get this? So in the new covenant, they're telling us, hey, this is what was prophesied in the book of Amos. It's the reality now. The tabernacle of David's been restored. Amen? So every one of you can go right into God's presence. And it says that over and over and over. So what does that mean? This whole new covenant system, the old one's going away. The harlot's going away. The bride is on the scene. The old covenant of work is going away. The new covenant of grace is on the scene. Right? John the Baptist says, listen, I must diminish and he must increase. He's the old covenant prophet. Jesus is the new covenant prophet. Fire and judgment is no more. All it is going to be mercy and grace. The old one's going away. The new one's on the scene. That's how the whole Bible's written. Follow me? Is there any wrath left for you? Zero. You're married to the King. Hallelujah. Right? You're the bride. You're, what's that? VeggieTales? What do they do, Esther? That's so great. If people, this is so great. I wish believers could understand this stuff. Like the one who didn't deserve it is married to the King. Who's that? You and I. Hallelujah. You guys get it? It's wonderful. So David's tabernacle did not have courts. In the, you know what? In the end of Revelation, it says, then I saw a new heaven and earth, and there was no sea. Why? Why is there no sea? Because we're all in. There's no, anybody can go in. Everybody can stand on the earth now. You guys get it? I know some of you guys are going, wah. But if you don't understand that types and shadows and Jesus the fulfillment, I promise you, you're going to add a little leaven and make it something that it's not. And it's all supposed to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. You guys get it? The wrath fell on this old harlot system where you had to work, etc. He goes, I got to die so that you can be married again to the bride. Now, Jew, Gentile, everybody can be married to the bride. There is no sea because every nation is now in. Nobody's excluded. There is no sea. You guys get it? So if he's talking about the physical earth, is there still a sea? Yes, but he's talking about this new covenant system, this new temple system. That old mountain was thrown into the sea, right? Matthew 17, Mark 11, 23, all those faith verses. I should really dig into those. Doug Bishop and I were talking about that. Want me to share real quick on that, what that all means? Okay, because it's not as difficult as what you've been taught, all right? So Jesus comes in. He comes into the city. He cleanses the temple, right? Tears stuff up, throwing people out. He wasn't looking about his bird, making sure he was calm and totally hearing his bird because his bird's very tender and he might fly away. He was kicking rear end. All that's what I just hate all that teaching because it's inaccurate. Your bird's not going to leave you. All right? Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. They're like, you got to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit because you might miss him. No. No. Jesus was, you guys get it. So he goes into the temple. He'll never leave you. The bird isn't going to fly away. Follow me? Did I hear you? Probably not. So relax. He still does it. He's the faithful one. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm more sure that way. Follow me? Because if it's about me, then I'm messed up. So he goes into the temple. He cleanses the... He's coming into Jerusalem. He sees the fig tree. He goes, man, I'm going to see if there's fruit. The fig tree was self-righteousness. The first time it's mentioned in the Bible, Adam and Eve sin. They're separated from God. What do they try to do? Cover their shame with what? Fig leaves. And Jesus goes, that's not going to work. I need to kill a lamb and clothe you with that, because there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Cain's the same story. Hey, I'm going to go labor and toil and produce these things out of the ground, and that's the sacrifice I'm going to bring to the Father. What did the Father say? I don't like that offering. I like Abel's offering because he brought a lamb. Now, Cain, you don't have to be upset about this thing. If you look closely, there's a sin offering right at your door. I'll still be happy. Just don't try to do it on your works. Just bring me the lamb, and you'll get the same deal as Abel. See how this all works out? So Jesus comes in. He curses the fig tree, which is self-righteousness. He says, never eat from this tree again. Which tree is he cutting down? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, self-righteousness. That tree is going to go never produce fruit again, is what Matthew 7. Nobody will ever eat from this tree again. Follow me? Goes into the temple, cleanses the temple. They come out the next day. The disciples go, whoa, that fig tree that you cursed has withered up. What withers, the old or the new? The old. Have faith in God. I've got a new covenant. The old system's going to wither away. Have faith in God. Now, what faith teachers try to do is go, you have enough of it. No. I tell you the truth. You think that's good? You say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And if you believe that's going to happen, from now on, whatever you ask is going to be yours. Yeah. See how simple this is? I've seen everybody. Grace Peters really just butcher that thing. I'm like, no, he's going, the old fig tree is withering away. You think that's good? That whole temple system, that whole mountain, that whole kingdom, you say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. Where's the sea? Hey, this whole Jewish system is going to be dispersed into the seas, the Gentiles. And if you believe that's going to happen, now I say to you, when you pray, believe that you receive that and you'll have it. You don't have to go through this difficult system anymore. It's going to be a simple deal. I'm going to just say, you pray and you can have it. You guys get it? It's all about that. It's the whole thing's about that. And we make these faith verses. I go, then if you want the faith verse, then keep reading. It says, the next verse says, you're not going to be forgiven unless you forgive. Read the next verse if you're trying to make it a faith verse. What he's trying to do is that old temple system, that old fig tree is going to go away. You simply have to have faith in God. And if you believe that everything's a reality now because of what I did, here's all you need to do. Ask and you shall receive. It's the same message. You guys get it? Does that help you? Hey, the old system's going to go away, and it's going to be dispersed into the seas, the Gentile nations, and I'm going to set a new one up. It's going to be really even, it's way better. All you need to do now is come to the throne and ask me for it. But only if you have enough. No, see, you just put the veil back up. You guys get it? It has nothing to do, you don't have to speak to your mountain. I know, like, hey, in the Talmud, the Jews, they spoke to their mountain. How many guys are speaking to mountains and it's not working? I speak to this mountain. In the book of Revelation, it says, then I saw this great mountain on fire and it was cast into the sea. It's not you speaking to your thing. Father, I don't need to speak to that thing. Here's all I need to do. Father, I know my covenant is healing, like Les was saying. Heal me in Jesus' magnificent name. He's not going to do what he's given you authority to do. Then you're screwed. Sorry. That's not good news to me. Follow me? Now, do we have authority? Yes, we do. We have joint heir. I get all that. But sometimes I don't even know how to pray and know what to do. Lord, you do it. Because if I'm going to cast my care to him, and he's not going to do anything that he knows I can do, but it says cast my care to him because he's going to care for me, I expect him to do something, even if I don't know what to do. You guys get it? Isn't that better covenant? That's a real covenant. I'm just telling you. I know I'm stepping on toes, but it's so good. I'm tired of all these guys messing around with it. They're trampling on Jesus' blood, in my opinion. If you got to perform to have your inheritance, I think it's wrong. Now, I know they have all the right hearts, etc., but I go, they're messing people up, and they're miserable and dying when they don't have to be. Follow me? You ask, it's yours. That's the new covenant he's trying to say. That mountain's going to be cast into the sea. You don't need to speak to the mountain anymore. How many guys have spoken to the mountain and jumped in the sea for you? How many faith teachers, spoke to the mountain and jumped in the sea? Not one, because he's not talking about that. He's talking about the type and shadow of what's going to be fulfilled. Right? Does that help you guys? Too much, I know. So now, just like Mark 11, 23, this is just a review, so I'm done, okay? You guys good? Okay. Whew. All right. A-Rod retired. Oh, okay. Lambs. In that day, you will ask me nothing. Jesus is talking to them. He's going, listen, when all this is going to be a reality, you don't have to even come to me, right? I say, why? Because he's the one that pierced the veils and went straight to it, and he's our representative forever. Now we can go straight to the throne ourselves because we're a joint heir with him. Follow me? All right. I say to you, whatever you ask, ahiteo, whatever you require, that word is rich. It's not like, Lord, can I please? I'm trying to get this across to you, and this is the best way I know how to do it. If Bear asks me for the keys to Barb's car, I'm not going to give it to him. Bear's my little guy. Why? He's not going to get out of my neighborhood. Right? He's going to run my... It's not good for him. See, the Father says this, I withhold no good thing. He goes, it's my joy to give you the kingdom, though, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When you have that, you'll believe who you are in Christ, and you can go perform like nobody's business. If you're a business owner, you'll be the best in the world at what you do. If you're an athlete, you can expect to be the best in the world at what you do. Just it's his grace. Does that make sense? So, I don't need to pray for all that. I have all of that. Follow me? But if I don't know what to do, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this situation. He goes, cast that care to me, and I'll take care of it because I'm your caretaker. But then we get the weird teaching, hey, only he's not going to do it because he's given you the authority to do it. And now here's what happens. Oh, did he give me this authority? I don't know. Do I have enough belief? I don't know. Did I pray and fast? I don't know. Oh, God, there's somebody that needs healing. I haven't prayed. Who, me? I don't know if I can pray for this person to be healed. You're trying to do it. He goes, no, it's my Father's pleasure to give it to you. That's what he told his disciples. They didn't pray and fast one second. They ate and married. They ate food and drank wine. He said, man, John the Baptist was so holy and righteous himself. These guys are better. And they came eating and drinking. And he called them drunks and gluttons. And Jesus goes, listen, I give you power to do all this over demons. And then here's what he tells them. I gave it to you freely. Freely give it to everybody else. And almost every minister I see goes, but you got to pay the price for it. What the? No wonder people don't dare pray for people to be healed. He gave it to you for free. He gave you the kingdom for free. That's what I'm trying to show you. Does that make sense? All right. So, until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive. Why? Because I want you to be fired up about this new covenant so that your joy may be full. Lord, I need to separate myself with some time and worship all night. Man, I'm sawing logs 3 hours already. You guys get it? They're trying to fulfill the tabernacle of David, and he said, I'm the one who's going to fulfill it. I'm going to build it up. So if you're tired, go to tired. Hey, if you want to stay up all night worshiping because you're fired up about it, do it. But you're not adding anything to the covenant. You guys get it? Okay, so enjoy your sleep is what I would tell you. Ask, you'll receive. That's Mark 11, 23. That's Matthew 17. It's the same message. That old thing's going to be thrown into the sea. And guess what? This new thing's going to be happening. Now you just ask, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Not whether you have enough of it. Just be smart enough to, he's the lamb. I'm bringing you, Lord, I'm reminding you that Jesus did this. It has to be at least good enough as the old covenant. We didn't have any faith. They just brought a stinky lamb. And God goes, that's enough. Walk away blessed, healed, prospered, etc. Now the new covenant has to be better. So don't make your level of faith the veil. That's all I'm trying to get across to you guys. You guys get it? Because when you really start getting that, man, you'll be pumped up. Go, geez, I'm in good shape. Follow me? I know it doesn't look like it. It says, you know what, there's going to be trials and tribulations sometimes, but relax with this thing. That's when you cast the care to him. Go, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work. You take care of it. Follow me? I just know I'm bringing you the remembrance of that lamb, which is Jesus Christ, and now I'm a joint heir. You're the best father in the world. You're not going to treat your son that way. You're the best husband in the world. You won't treat your wife that way. So treat me the way you treat Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the new covenant. You're a joint heir. Does that make sense? Isn't that good news? No wonder there was 24-hour praising and worshiping, because it's good news. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, as many, hey, John says this, he came unto himself, but they didn't believe him, but as many as believed him, he gave them power to be sons. He placed them as sons, is what it says literally in the Greek. As many as believe that Jesus was the Messiah, you get full sonship. Fired up. Your oil will never run out. Got it? Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into the Father. That's what I'm trying to show you. The old covenant spirit was fire and judgment. Elijah, right? New covenant spirit, it's grace, right? Hey, I take that mixture out of that pot and I throw my bread in it. Now it's just healthy for you. Listen, you bring as many jars that aren't filled, as many as you can bring, I'll fill every one of them. Hey, you guys were outside the covenant, your kids were dead. The Shunammite woman, I'll raise them because I am the resurrection. Now they can partake in my life. That's Elisha. Follow me? The only one he didn't like were the self-righteous who were going, you bald head. Bad news for you guys, man. The bears are going to come eat you up. That's the Elijah and the Elisha spirit. You guys get it? The new spirit, Jesus says, listen, it's good that I go away because then you're going to receive the firstborn's portion, the double portion of what? His mantle, which is his spirit. Get it? And his spirit isn't one of fear where we have to fear judgment and torment. What's his spirit? Dad, I need help. You guys get this? That's what, hey, my spirit is one of power, love, and a sound mind. You don't have to be whacked out by all the religious teaching you got. Don't be double-minded. Don't mix this thing. It's Jesus and Jesus only, and it's all yours forever. Just ask for it. That's the singleness of, he's the author and finisher. Keep your eyes on me. Anything that puts your eyes back on you, wrong covenant. You guys get this? I'm trying to get it like so you understand the whole Bible. Because you are sons, you are holy, you are sanctified, you are set apart, you are perfect. He has completed you. Every promise is yes and amen. I'm just trying to show every verse in Scripture that shows all this stuff. Now what can we do? Dad, Father, the King of the universe is our dad. Here's how simple it is. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. You're not the one, hey, you don't have to work for your inheritance. You can have it for free because you already have it. That, if that's true, and if I'm a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah. Is that good news? Oh, let's finish this up. The new covenant of faith is so, so much better. If it's not good, I promise you, you're feeling condemned and not worthy, or you're trying to base it on your faith level, and you're trying to balance and do all these strange teachings I see. Where it's so clear to me, he says, listen, anything that I've done the work for, you don't have to work for it. You simply come to me as the Father and ask for it. Another way he puts it, that's the sonship. Another way he puts it, like I read in Revelation, hey, listen, the marriage supper of the Lamb is real. Follow me? He goes, now I'm married. I'm in joint covenant with Jesus Christ. So what does Jesus Christ have? Does he have healing? Then it's yours. Just simply ask for it. Follow me? See, everything I have, my wife has. Does that make sense? But his is so much better. So if you need joy, what do you do? Simply ask. I just don't think you're going to find a lot of joy finding spirits over this and trying to open pathways and doors and portals and all these weird things I hear. We're sitting there. I don't need a portal. Follow me? I'm just trying to free you up from a lot of this stuff. I see all these spiritual warriors going, spiritual warfare is simply believing the right thing. If somebody comes out of condemnation, guys, most of their issues will go away. That's the battle. Like, I am perfect and righteous and holy. Amen? Does that make sense? Now, if somebody's, I'm not saying you don't have to cast out demons, but relax. If they're demon-possessed, it'll be obvious. You have authority whether you prayed or not. That's not, whether you had enough faith or not. He gave the disciples authority. They cast out demons. They said, whoa, man, this is amazing. Even the demons listened to us. We're surprised by that. So it wasn't their level of faith. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. Right? Everybody that came to Jesus, even if they have more unbelief than belief, did they receive from him? Why? Because he withholds no good thing. He doesn't. He doesn't balance it and check. Is your faith meter high enough? I'm going to withhold it. That's a weird dad. The veil's been removed, guys. The king's our father, and we are sons, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It can't get any better than what it is right now. You're married to him. Whatever he has is yours. Amen? So, you simply, our sacrifice and high priest is perfect. See, that's what they knew. If I brought a lamb and the high priest did it, we're perfect. He was the high priest. He was the lamb. He fulfilled all of that. You guys get it? So all we need to do is bring him into remembrance and simply ask. Is that a good covenant? All right, you can get to your feet. Does that help? All right. I hope so. Guess what? That's the tabernacle of David. It's been restored. There's no veil. All there is praise and worship and thanksgiving. Follow me? If you go read that, that's the very first psalm. He said, listen, hallelujah. This is the real deal. Everything's been restored. Now all things are us. Let's just rejoice, is what he says. Why? Because now you can have anything that Jesus qualified you for by simply asking, you shall receive it, and your joy will be full. Follow me? So don't worry about if it happened now, 10 days. So just relax. Let patience have its perfect work, but it will happen. Does that help you? It's good. So, hey, you want to be a Christian? It's the coolest thing in the world, despite what you heard growing up. It's actually really good. It's simply this. He loves you so much. He's not going to ask you why you got into that problem. He's not even going to look at your nonsense. He's going to go, I loved you so much that I gave up the most precious thing in my life because you're worth more than that. Amen? You're it. And he goes, I did it for you. Now, the enemy will try to get you to believe, man, I'm not worth it. He could never forgive me for this. He couldn't do this. And man, I'm going to have to get my act together if I'm going to become a Christian. No, no. He goes, I want to give it to you all for free despite you. It's really good news. And after that, he goes, I want you to know that I'll never judge you ever again for anything you've ever done. You're perfect in my eyes from now on. I know you're going to make a mistake. I'm not a high priest that doesn't understand any of that, is what he says. He goes, yet I'm still going to treat you as if you're Jesus because you're hidden in me. Amen? Your new life is him. Now, he died for you. He rose from the dead. You don't even have to fear death anymore. The worst thing that could happen to you is now in your perfection body and right and face to face with him. Isn't that cool? If you believe that, he goes, listen, I died for you because I loved you so much. I don't ever want to judge you or punish you. I'm the real lamb they were talking about. If you messed up, all you had to do was bring the lamb. He goes, I'm going to wipe that away as if you've never made any mistakes. You never had any lack of wisdom. I'm going to redeem that time and restore you, and now you can walk away. Just ask me, and I'll bless you. Ask me, and I'll heal you. Ask me, and I'll prosper you. Ask me, I'll do it. That's being a Christian. Is that a cool family or what? It's good news. Amen? Hey, if you believe that, you're it. You are one. Isn't that beautiful? Now, be immersed in that. Get around that. I'm not telling you have to come to church. You'd never come to church again, and he'd be just as happy with you. The whole church is for your benefit. He says, listen, don't forsake that, because there's parts of the body that somebody has something you're going to need. Lord, I don't know what to do. And somebody will come up with a word of knowledge and go, this is what I saw. This is what you need to do. Does that make sense? That's why we come together. Don't feel bad if you, man, I didn't come to church. I wish I could do it from my house every Sunday, but I can't. So it's not supposed to be that. It's supposed to be a fun thing. Does that make sense? You're supposed to be refreshed when you come out of here and go, man, that's good news. Hallelujah. All I need to do is ask, you bet. Wow, it can't be that good. Hey, but look at this. They're sinning. They're doing this. No, they're not. They're perfect in my eyes. Hallelujah. You guys get this? So, the veil's been removed. You're completely sinless. You're completely righteous. You're completely holy. You are the spotless bride. You've been clothed in fine linen. Amen? He goes, I've prepared the banquet table. Everything is now ready for you. What? Everything that the first Adam lost, your restoration, your healing, your health, your money, everything's there. Just ask for free. You guys get this? So, Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. If they need healing their body, you're not a hard dad. You're not one that makes this difficult. They can just simply rest in you, and you'll heal them. And we just thank you for that, Father. Father, but most importantly, heal their conscience. They should have no more consciousness of how bad they are, what's going on, what has happened. Like Les said, hey, you know what? If you've gone through something emotional, keep your eyes on Jesus. I can't explain why that happened all the time. I don't know. But he says, but here's what I do know, is I restore and I redeem that time as if it never happened. So, Father, we thank you for that. Just restore their mental conditions. Just restore their conscience. Father, if there's any depression, anything hypersensitive, Father, if they can't sleep, I declare they sleep perfectly from now on in Jesus' magnificent name. You give the beloved sleep, and we just thank you for that. Father, just thank you that in their professions, in their business deals, supernaturally bless them. Let them display your splendor, Lord. You love doing that. It's your good pleasure to give the kingdom. I'll just make this so simple in their hearts and minds that they're convinced and persuaded of it, that they can go straight to the throne boldly and ask, and they shall receive. So they can start living a life of joy. They don't have to look at their current situation, which will depress them. They can look at what they know is a promise that you will do in their lives. In Jesus' magnificent name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. If you guys need prayer, you can come up here. But hey, go enjoy yourself, man. Go feast at his banquet table. Follow me? You're blessed in Jesus' name.